It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling so I feel so good.
Greetings and welcome, everybody. Ray Adams here on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, which this week has to be on the Tuesday Lifestyle Show. Now, you want to go to golfnewsnet.com. Get up to the radio tab, find Great American Golf on Saturdays, the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show on Mondays. But this week, we're doing our big U.S. Open wrap-up show today. And so I thank you so very much for being with us, everybody. And Dr. Bob Denny, PGA of America, historian emeritus, joining. Craig could not join us today. He's in Florida on a sporting event with his family. And that is exactly where he should be. So I totally agree. We support our kids, and that's wonderful. I want to thank CertaFresh Cigar today. CertaFresh Cigar, powered by Boveda, one of my great sponsors over the years. Thank you so much, Eric Nelson and the whole team at CertaFreshCigar.com. Make sure you go there for all your pro shop needs. Be a new one of the 3,000 golf shops. Can you believe that? That carry CertaFresh Cigar and their very, very, very proprietary method of keeping those cigars fresh for 1 year. You don't have to worry about it. CertaFreshCigar.com, squares, S-Q-A-I-R-Z, squares.com, golf shoes. You don't know how many golf shoes I sold during the U.S. Open. And when I say I sold them, not only was I promoting them on radio and they went out in the Father's Day gift guide and they were on the television show advertising Father's Day gift or Father's Day match for a cause starring Lee Jansen and Tom Lehman. And that's up on the golfnewsnet.com as well. You go to the TV tab and you can watch the Father's Day match for a cause. And Squares ads, of course, in there. Appreciate them so very much. The distance shoe, the comfort shoe, the square-toed shoe, the wider toe box shoe, the shoe that everybody is raving about. They've taken over the golf shoe market with so many famous teachers, players, coaches. It's unbelievable. And yes, they have a pickleball shoe. And yes, they have a baseball shoe. Unbelievable. Squares.com, you want to get there. And Ping. Finally, I want to say thank you so much to Ping. My goodness, that driver, amazing. Their technology, amazing. But the thing I really want to mention is they're thanking Karsten. There's a new video out, like a movie that's out. You want to go to ping.com and watch that movie. Find out all about it and check out the Ping products because they're for you, folks. Ping.com. Thank you so much for sponsoring the Father's Day Match for a Cause TV show and being also a sponsor of this radio show and Great American Golf every Saturday morning right here on the Golf News Net and on all of your favorite audio platforms. All right, Bob, we are now rocking and rolling. What about this U.S. Open from a historian standpoint?
Ray, this is going to be probably one of the most memorable in the last 50 years for a number of reasons. Wow. The first one is the fact that it transformed itself from a clunker in the first few days and hours into a classic in the last 2.5 hours.
And why was that? Why was it? What was the transition and why?
I'm just going to say, yeah. Well, I kind of agree with J.J. Spahn, our champion, because he had time to reset. Each player had a way to sort of dial back and sort of go back, in a sense, to the locker room and sort of take some pause, relax, try to calm down themselves. Some had coaches with them, some didn't. He had coaches that say, this golf tournament has a lot of holes left to be played. So just relax and calm yourself. I think that had a lot to do with it from the players that did so well. And JJ even told us that before he arrived at the golf course, he was up at 3:30 in the morning to get medicine for one of his babies because she was sick. So he had to rush to a pharmacy to get it. So he had
But
all that
why
in his
was it? Why
mind
was it a
before
clunker,
he
though?
gets there.
Why was it a clunk?
Why was it a clunker?
We're going to talk
JJ,
about the rain
okay.
delay. We're going to talk about that. That's a
Sure.
big deal. But what?
Yeah.
Why was it a clunker to begin with?
I think it was people were just seeing tired of one golfer or two golfers separating themselves because they were hitting fairways and the rest of them couldn't. And they were chopping out and they were separating themselves by sometimes 3 to 4 strokes. I think that's why it turned out to be like that. There was 5-inch rough that was matted down and wet after the rain that was hit.
Thank God.
There was greens that were that they people had told us were 15 on the stimp meter. That's hard for me to imagine. That's bowling alley style. So I don't really know if that had a lot to do with it, but it turned into that type of event where it looked like, okay, it looks like Sam Burns, and maybe JJ, maybe not, and maybe we're going to see Adam Scott come out and back from the his longtime gap from having a major. Maybe we're going to see that happen. But it turned out that changed dramatically once the break happened. A 96-minute break.
Okay, now we have a lot to talk about, and
Sure.
it's you and
Depends
me
on where you want to
all
go.
out. It's you and me all out.
Sure.
Okay, now you went to the rain delay right away. I was going to wait on that because, Spahn opens with a 66. At that moment, I'm the biggest JJ Spahn fan on the earth. And we talked about this on the Saturday last week's Great American Golf Show. I was all over for I wanted JJ Spahn. Okay. Let's go ahead and build on the rain delay. We'll start there, but we're going all over. I want to talk a little bit about Rory McIlroy. I'm not going to beat on him. I'm not going to put him in stupid golf. I'm not going to do that. But we do have to talk about it. We have to talk about it. Just like we have to talk about Jay Monahan finally out of being a commissioner, but they're letting him drag on for another year and a half. My gosh, we'll leave that alone for now. Later, we'll leave about the golf course is too hard, people are saying. I'm excited that the USGA returned the US Open to us, a real US Open conditions. Now, you know where I am then if everybody's complaining that the golf course was too hard for these folks on the PGA Tour. Sorry, guys. You heard it from me first. Tune in and listen. You all played the same course. You all played the same rough. You all played the same rain. You all played. Get up and play. And if all the greatest names on the planet missed the cut or played bad, poorly, good English, Bob, then I'm sorry. Go home. See, this is what Johnny Miller said about Bryson DeChambeau, my favorite player, by the way, my favorite guy, most interesting man on the PGA Tour. It ain't Rory. I think Bryson is the most popular, not Rory. Now, maybe globally Rory is, but whatever. But Johnny said, hey, you got to hit it in the fairway, Bryson. And if you don't, you're going to be sitting at home like you are watching it on TV. They panned over to Jack Nicklaus, Bob. He's laughing. He's dying laughing at Johnny. Guess what? It was true. If you don't hit the fairway, oh, and by the way, Bryson DeChambeau took the fairways out the year before at the US Open where he won. Where did he win? Where did he win?
Piners.
Right. He took fairways out of play. He bombed and gouged, and he did it so well. Plus that, what, 50-foot bunker shot, which is probably the greatest bunker shot in the history of the game. And they have a monument there now for him. And I love Bryson. And I'm not downing him at all. He played bad. But see, Oakmont ate their lunch up. It ate up their pants. And it was set up to identify the greatest golfer this week in the world, the one that could endure everything, anything, including the rain. There was some poll taken. Should have they delayed the tournament, postponed the final round from Sunday to Monday because of the rain? What? What? The poll shows a 70-30 no. Play in the rain, you guys. Play. What? Why would we ever think about postponing a round, Bob? Okay, so this is my little opening monologue, and then you're going to take over. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. You'll comment on that. I do think the rain delay helped JJ Spahn win the game. I do believe that it helped him big time. And I believe that it probably hurt others. When his coach says, let it come to you, you're trying too hard. Don't try so hard. So let's go to that rain delay and let's find out when the coach says it's let it come to you, because he started the first nine. How? Tell us, take over.
Well, he started at five over on the first six holes, I believe. And that right there would just spell doom for anybody in a golf tournament, especially
Well,
if you
yep.
have a shot. But like we've been talking about, that golf course had it changed complexions after the rain, and it also the players changed their mental structure after the rain. And it wasn't just JJ. There was others that handled it in different ways. Some people played it, very solid. And I just believe that it was a mental stress. It was a mental change on where it was. And that was, to me, was the most appealing of the whole thing, was to see someone reset that well. And that was the important thing. And I just like to see when a person can reset, and that's like going into halftime and a coach has made some adjustments and you come back and play a different second half in football or basketball. But it was back to mental stress. And I think JJ, being the grinder he is, he did say that he felt he gained on his experience under pressure when he was facing Rory in the Players' Championship. And he came on the short end of that playoff, but he handled it brilliantly. And I just got to give him all the credit, because he doesn't show a lot of emotion when he went right in the heat of battle. He's laser focused. And boy, I'll tell you what, if there's anything that gained anything out of this whole week, it might have been Keegan Bradley. Keegan Bradley says, I think I have a guy that can help us. And that's what you want.
Oh, he's automatically on the
Yeah,
Ryder
but
Cup.
he can help you
Well,
under pressure.
and even Paul McGinley said, I'm supporting him, to win and all that, but I kind of hope he doesn't, because I don't want him on the Ryder Cup against us. I don't want to see him there. And Paul McGinley was kind of tongue in cheek about that, because Paul McGinley is such an elegant man. He's my favorite commentator. Well, Brandel, I love Brandel. He's a friend. I've known him forever. But Paul McGinley is my favorite golf commentator, analyst, besides Brandel, of all the channels. Okay, we're going to keep going. We're going to talk about JJ and his grittiness, his gutsiness, his putt. Of the age, the putt of the ages. Because Bob, I think if he stood there for another 1,000 years, he would never make that putt again. No. That came from the gods of golf. Came from heaven. Was providential. With JJ starts at a 66 after a year ago, really down in the dumps. Down in the mouth, down in the dumps. And he comes back to win a US Open. And he didn't need to make that putt to win, but it locked it. It just iced it. It was unbelievable. So we'll maybe mention that a little later and you'll comment on it. But I can tell you this, when they were in the rain delay, and that rain delay hurt other players' momentum or what have you. When his coach said, "You're trying too hard, let it come to you." And his coach said, "If you knew that you were in fourth place beginning the second nine at this US Open on this last Monday, wouldn't you be happy? Wouldn't you take it?" And JJ said, "Oh, yeah. Well, that's where you are. Don't try so hard. Let it come to you." How important were those words? Because JJ said, "I did a total reset." How
Well, I
important
think
was that, Bob?
you trust your coaches and you listen to them. That they're the voices you probably want to hear when things are going bad. You want to hear what the small are. And I think Adam Schreiber, when he says those to JJ, it was important. And Josh Gregory already prepared him for a short game before he even got to Oakmont. And so those two gentlemen, they had reason to celebrate, and they showed how much they're excited they were once they saw that happen. And JJ, he is just a, I'm so impressed with the way he's focused, though. I can't, I'm trying to think who I compare him to at the moment, but I can't, I'll think of it later. But he proved that he can handle the big moments, and that was important. And this may be the catalyst for even bigger things after down the road, because
Well,
you're always in the middle of the hunt for the Players' Championship. One roll of the ball, and that game would have been over with. There wouldn't have been any playoff the next day with Rory McIlroy. So
see
that,
how
yeah.
important was that Players' Championship playoff to JJ Spaun's, not just his mind, but his heart and his guts, being such a gutsy player.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't I mean I'm going to say this, and this is the way that it is. If you talk to JJ Spaun today and I ask him this question, if you knew then, wouldn't you have traded a PGA Tour event called the Players for a US Open event today? And the answer is, of course, because the Players is a PGA Tour event. Yes, it's an elevated event. Yes, they're trying to manufacture something out of it. But the reality is, he traded a loss there for a US Open win. And how much did he learn there against Rory at the Players, Bob?
Well, he learned a lot, even though he dumped that ball in the water on the par three. And I think he just learned how to handle the moment. I think that was the biggest thing. And once that reset started after the rain, he calmed himself down, and he right away you could see that was important, because he made that downhill putt. I think it was on 14 for the birdie. And that he bogeyed the 15th, yes, but after that he was in, I was thought, the best cruise mode and mental state of his position. He hit the fairway, he had an unbelievable drive on 17 and to the green, 17 footer, two putted from there, and then that set up the 18th drama.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? He made a ton of money and a lot of experience at the Players, and now he comes back and wins the US Open. I pulled for him from day one. I was pulling for him. I even did a video. Folks, you can go watch my video on my Facebook site. I did a video on Sunday for Father's Day, congratulating all of you, and talking about my 1 hour TV show, The Father's Day Match for a Cause, with Tom Lehman and Lee Jansen, two-time U.S. Open winner, by the way, and also congratulating JJ Spaun, who I was pulling for. So I did a 90-second, or no, actually about a 2-minute video. It's on my Facebook site, at Match Play TV. And by the way, if you go to Match Play TV, you go to my Facebook, you go to my Instagram, and you go to my YouTube. And my Father's Day Match for a Cause 1 hour TV special is not only here at the golfnewsnet.com, but it's also over at my YouTube site at Match Play TV. All right, Bob. The rain delay was a big deal. I think it made all the difference for JJ Spaun to win this golf tournament. I don't think it had a thing to do with one of the luckiest putts, backed with skill, training, timing, being a veteran on the PGA Tour. Yes, if anybody was going to make it would be a PGA Tour player with their skill, and that Victor Hovland. Let's drop down there, parachute down for a minute. My heart does kind of go out to him as not as well as he's played, the last year or so, but he's been coming back and coming back and trending. I love his hat and his devotion to his ping company, as I am. But he did show JJ the line, didn't he?
That's right. Whenever a professional has a person outside their line and they have a chance to look at they actually understand where the breaks are. They're not doesn't mean they're going to actually follow it to the letter, but it is a tremendous guidepost to help them. That's absolutely. There's no question about that.
So that helped him, but
Oh yeah.
I still say, if that was an 8 to 15 foot putt, I would think that it would have made an 80% assist to JJ, but not on a 65 foot putt or whatever
No,
it
yeah.
was. If he stood there for 1,000 years, I'm repeating myself, sorry. I don't think he makes that putt again.
Yeah,
I
right.
mean,
I think the biggest thing, Ray, it was that he could understand the pace of it because I think he wanted to have as easy a two putt as he could make it by the chance he had it there.
well, that was he was going to definitely do that. I mean,
Yeah,
there's
yeah,
no question he was
yeah.
winning. After Keegan missed the putt, JJ could breathe. I remember at a US Open at Pebble Beach where Paul Casey said, or no, at the Ryder Cup, Paul Casey told me years ago, I said, "What's your secret?" He said, "Bernard Longer taught me how to breathe." And you've got to breathe. So I think JJ was able to breathe. And I think he would have made a two putt, no problem.
I got a nugget
However,
for you. Got a
yep,
nugget.
ready for nuggets.
Today in history, June 17th, 1973, Johnny Miller shoots the 63 at Oakmont. He learned how to breathe that day.
I'll tell you what, you look at that whole thing. I love Johnny Miller. I mean, I have great interviews with Johnny recorded, and I have a great interview with him about the US Open and the setups of the US Open in the recent number of years. And I want to congratulate, I want to commend, I want to clap. Those are my three C's. Congratulate, commend, and clap the USGA for returning the US Open to the fans, a liking, to the television audiences who got to watch the greatest players on the earth. Well, they struggled. One of the greatest things that I think for the fans are. Recreational golfers are is carnage. I'm a big carnage fan. Now, I don't want that every week, and I don't want to brag about it, and I don't want to see the greatest players in the world brought to their knees in embarrassment, although they were. But it is carnage. It is called scar tissue. It happens. It happens in every sport, by the way. So we cannot just single out golf. But I think when the recreational golfer, Bob, and you correct me where I'm going wrong, I think when the amateur player, the recreational golfer, the television viewer who loves golf, they love to play golf, they love to watch golf, and I think when they see the greatest players in the world brought to their knees, dealing with the rough, dealing with fast greens, once in a while, once in a blue moon. And it should be at a US Open, the most difficult golf tournament every year on the earth. And it should be. And when they see that, they can identify. It bolsters them. It excites them. And I think it thrills them. Not that they want to see all these golfers beat up and score terrible over score rounds. But I think that they can somehow, for once in a blue moon, Bob, I think that they can identify. They can say, my God, I made an eight on a par three because I was off over here or over there, or I went in the water twice or whatever. Hey, look, I scored for Tiger Woods at the Phoenix Open. He was in the water at number 12 twice. It was a terrible round of golf. It happens. And I think it those moments, rare moments, that the recreational amateur golfer who pays the money, who pays the gate receipts, who buys the golf products that advertise, who makes the money happen in golf. Pro players don't do that. Yes, they're the ambassadors and the examples, but where does the money come from? It comes from us. The millions over millions over millions of golfers that love, play, and buy the game. And so I think that they like and they are uplifted sometimes when these golfers struggle. Bob, where am I going wrong?
No, I think you're right. And also the sites that host these events, Ray, make a little cash at the end for their return visitors. I've seen people go out there and try to mimic putts, mimic shots after tournaments the following day. I was in Austin, Texas, when they tried to mimic Bob Sauer's chip in from the hill. I was watching people try to buy Jack Nicklaus putters and see if they could match Jack Nicklaus's putt that he made in 1986. Well, I guarantee you, someone at Mokemont, whoever it may be, will go out there and say, "I'm going to try this 64-foot, 5-inch putt, and anybody thinks I can make it, I'm a bet blah blah blah." Or how many tries, or going to have a contest, or whatever it may be. Those are some of the things that we identify with, and that, like you said, it makes us we look like we're human again. We're not. We can also bring our game out there and try to do something. There's one thing in golf I've always brought me back to the game, and that's what on one day, one moment, I would hit a shot that I don't think any other professional could do better than that moment. And that's sometimes with my short game, I could do something, blah blah blah. Well, they'll probably match me, but they're not going to do better than that shot.
All right, folks. Thanks, Dr. Bob, for that. Great assessment. Hey, Dr. Bob and I are going to be back in just a few minutes. I want you to listen to these wonderful sponsors. Yeah, they're commercials, they're advertisements, they're pitches. Of course they are. But you know what? They're from some of the great companies in the world. Companies like Squares Golf Shoes, companies like the T Clip, companies like Ping Golf, companies that were in my Father's Day gift guide, CertaFresh Cigar. We're talking about some great, great companies. Ashworth, my wonderful, wonderful Ashworth-golf.com, my apparel sponsor. Oh my goodness, folks. If you saw me up in Flagstaff on Father's Day a couple of days ago, go to my Facebook site and at Matchplay TV, and I'm wearing my wonderful Ashworth outerwear, beautiful clothing. The golf man is back. And if you want to hear an 11 or 12 minute video, watch the video at my YouTube site with none other than himself, the man, John Ashworth. You go to my YouTube site at Matchplay TV, and you can see John and I watch John, hear John talk all about the beginning and the evolution of, and then kind of the falling down a little bit, but then coming back in splendor. Yes, Freddie Couples is wearing Ashworth. I'm wearing Ashworth. You're wearing Ashworth. So go to ashworth-golf.com. Yeah, we have some great sponsors and their ads going on right now. Please listen for just a couple minutes, and Dr. Bob and I are going to be right back.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic T-holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
All right, greetings and welcome back, everybody. Ray Adams here on the Golf Lifestyle Show with Dr. Bob Denny from the PGA of America. He's the historian emeritus. And if you go to Frisco, Texas, to the home of the PGA of America, and you go to that beautiful Omni Frisco Resort, I'm going to be there in July for the buying summit. It's going to be fabulous. And we were there and I did a big video with Don Ray, the president of the US or of the PGA of America. And that's up on my YouTube site as well at Match Play TV. And you can find out all about it. But if you go there, it's one of the most wonderful places on the earth for golf, the home of the PGA of America in Frisco, Texas, a suburb of Dallas. And I'll see you there. Take your family, take the children, oh my goodness, and go to Frisco, Texas, and go to the home of the PGA of America, stay at the Omni. I'll be doing that in July coming up. Now, Dr. Bob, we are back. Is it true that Rory came out with this at the US Open? Finally, he didn't speak to anybody since the Masters, right? Mm-hmm. And all these tournaments and weeks have gone by, and he wouldn't talk to anybody, wouldn't speak to the media, la, la, la. There was a driver, unconforming driver incident, which... it's every week on the PGA Tour, they test the drivers. Scottie Scheffler got ahead of the story. His driver was unconforming too, because as they use it with their swing speeds, those drivers, those the trampoline effect, the faces get thinner and thinner, and they go non-conforming. Okay, big deal, normal, we don't care. And so they just start with a new driver if it's non-conforming, which Scottie did. Now, apparently... Rory didn't like, well, he didn't comment. He didn't say a word. Scheffler did. So with that said, Rory got outed, call it, by the media. He didn't like it. And so he didn't speak to the media for weeks and weeks and weeks. So now at a US Open, now listen to me. I'm going to say this and then you're going to take over. Rory McIlroy embarrassed himself. Rory McIlroy embarrassed the USGA. Rory McIlroy embarrassed our national championship. Go do that at the Irish Open, Rory, but don't do it at the US Open in America. Because we've given you everything you have. Sure, you've played golf. You've played to the highest level in the stratosphere. You've won and you've earned it. But we were there paying the money. We the fans, we the sponsors, we these tournaments. Don't embarrass America, our national championship, the USGA. Don't embarrass Oakmont and don't embarrass this US Open. Now, Dr. Bob, where am I going wrong?
Roy, I was going to ask you, Ray, how did he embarrass the USGA any more than he embarrassed the PGA of a championship?
I totally agree. And then he takes his driver and he busts one of the tee markers. Has he been banned from the USO or from the from Oakmont? Because we're going to get to Wyndham Clark, but he throws clubs. He busts a tee marker. Who is this guy? He's the guy that said during when he finally decided to talk to the media. He finally, and by the way, I'm a big Rory fan. But you just don't do that. Because what he's done is he has set an example for juniors, for university students, for other players. What is he thinking? He is an example. He is an ambassador of the game. You've got to give back to the game because the game made you what you are. It gave you what you are. So now it's your job to give it back to the next generation. What did he give during that media interview? He embarrassed himself, and I think he embarrassed the USGA, the US Open, Oakmont. And I think he embarrassed the United States. I'm sorry. I mean, I think I've earned the right to do whatever I want to do. Rory, my Irish on that one. Sorry, wrong. Okay, Bob, I'm done. I'm sorry. You tell me. I mean, I'm not apologizing for my comments because that's how I feel. And we all watched it, and I've had 100 people call or write to me. What is this guy thinking? Now you tell me. I think he was butthurt about the driver thing with the media. You go ahead.
Well, if that's the thing that really bugged him the most, that was just the icing on the cake to really set him off even further, because he clearly didn't want to be where he was when he's having a bad day or several days, and he's in a position where he can basically say, "Oh, I guess this is me trying not to be the face anymore or the mouthpiece anymore for some of the things I've said in the past," because I think he's looked upon
Yeah,
as
but
a
that was
person who's
over a
said too
year. That
much.
was over. He
Yeah.
stopped all that poster
Can I
child.
like to finish the point though,
Go ahead.
just the fact that he has basically now, when you say nothing, it's a complete stopping to track moment for those who have been following him, as opposed to the time when he was Mr. Talkative, and that type of thing. So he's had these petulant moments, and they're nothing to be proud of. And obviously, I've seen other players smash clubs and smash things. Watching it, I saw people throw clubs down the halfway down a fairway, get penalized for it, and so forth. There's some golfers that I've spoken, tried to get quotes to when I used to work for the PGA of America full time, and they did clearly didn't want to be in my space to talk to me, because what do you want to know for? Is their famous line. What do you want to know for? Okay, all right. So they throw it right back at you, and that's fine. If you don't want to give us any report of how you are, that's it. You didn't say a thing that day. But when it comes to I think of better places I can be than right here. Well, that to me tells me he's still not healed in his own mind about some of the moments that have happened to him. And I think there a lot of people will go back to saying, well, look, like it started when he missed that putt on Pinehurst on the last green and then took off without saying a word to people. Well, that we gave him a pass on that one. These other moments, I think it's a situation where you have to at least give some kind of report. It's you're not under obligation. These are independent contractors. They don't have a mandate, but it's not good for the game. It's not good for, like you said, Ray, those that follow young people that are watching this.
Bob, look, I mean, look, I'm not trying to be extreme or anything here. I'm just giving you my reaction as a golf broadcast commentator, somewhat part of a historian, nothing like you. But Rory, really, okay, so he had such a dour personality. He had this glum kind of like look on his face. Don't talk to the media if you're going to act that way. Don't be insulting and embarrassing. Stay away at the U.S. Open also. Just stay away.
Jack Nicklaus said when he was pressed on the subject again, he says, I've spoken, you gentlemen and gals, you have a job to do. And even on days when I play bad or when I play good, I still am here if you want to ask me questions, and I always have.
Well, that's why he's the greatest of all time. Tiger was very, very, minimalist with the media. Mm-hmm. He contained the media. You're on a need to know basis and you don't need to know. I think that was one of my, I know that Alex Maselli had a few issues there. And there was always many, many times through the years where Tiger was, not so forthcoming. Mm-hmm. I believe the PGA Tour should mandate that they speak at every single event. Now, if you broke your leg, if you're throwing up at the flu, of course you got to go home. Otherwise, open your mouth, meet with the media, smile. And I don't mean smile, smile, smile. I mean, if you lost a heartbreaker, okay, you're sad and it's scar tissue. But have a few comments to it. Just tell the person interviewing you, I feel like two or three questions only, please. Mm-hmm. We're going to honor that. They're going to honor it, Bob.
Yeah.
But I do think that they, especially the top, the top 10 or 12. So, okay. All right. There we go. Was Wyndham Clark banned from Oakmont because he bashed in the lockers? And if he was banned, why isn't Rory for bashing the tee markers, throwing his clubs, and have a very self-serving little media interview there? I've earned a right to do whatever I want to do. No, you have not. Go ahead.
Well, I haven't found any confirmation that Wyndham Clark's banned from Oakmont Country Club. I haven't found that.
We will not say that he has been. We will say that we saw it out there. I did see photos of bashed in lockers. Did you, Bob?
Yes, I found those, Ray. He's easily findable on social media. The New York Post obviously loves to put this up. They love those kind of stories.
Well,
they come up with new creative headlines for all these. But he's been accused of damage in the lockers, and there is no formal discussion yet by anybody from Oakmont.
All right, well, then we're not going to make any more comments about it. We have no idea what's going on, and we certainly are not going to convey anything about him being banned from Oakmont other than I saw some sort of a headline somewhere, and I saw the bashed-in lockers. Okay, we wish the best for Wyndham Clark. I like him. He's a great player. I believe he lives here in Phoenix, and I followed him during the U.S. Open that he won where? At LA Country Club.
Yes. LA Country Club. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Jay Monahan is out as the commissioner of the PGA Tour. I've been reading that the commissioner of the PGA Tour going forward is going to be more of a sort of a, what do you call it, a figurehead. But they're going to leave him in for another year and a half. Why?
Well, I guess there's no reason to cancel him right now because he's the man that knows the ropes and
yeah, but
the
he should have been canceled 2 years ago after all the debacle with Liv. I mean, now the new CEO. Yeah. Let's talk about the CEO, and you know him. He's going to take over, and pretty much that's going to be going forward. Who's going to be running the PGA Tour? And he's actually taking over operations, I think, straight away, from what I read. You can correct me, but. Tell me where he came from. Tell me what you know about him. And Monahan's is going to sort of be kind of phasing out. They're going to what they called sunset him at how many millions of dollars of salary another year that he doesn't need, Bob?
I was it up there in 12 or I'm trying to think.
Oh, I want
bigger
be,
than that. Bigger
I want to huh? be sunsetted. Can you sunset me for 12 million? Oh, my gosh. What a total throwaway of money.
Yeah.
My gosh. Okay, it's June. Give him 6 months to sunset him, finish him in December, work morning, noon, and night to get the CEO up to speed. And then the article that I read said something about so that they could move forward and make deals with Liv. Right, Bob?
Yes, I saw that. Brian Rolapp, I think I'm pronouncing that right, Rolapp,
yep,
is the CEO of the PGA Tour and Tour Enterprises. And he's a former NFL chief of media and partnerships, I believe, global integrity and global partnerships. He's done so much as the chief media and business officer, was the lead architect of the league's media and business playbook, they said online. So it's good to see that they're going past to the biggest entity in sports, the NFL, to grab someone to take over, which I think is in a position now where golf is because of the strategic sports group that came in and basically bailed out the PGA Tour after the lived disasters that were happening. And no major players other than since John Rahm have made their exit to the LIV Golf League.
Okay.
But the point is that the NFL, one of their top performers now will be the man that will be taking over for Jay Monahan in 2026.
Okay. Enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
Was Oakmont too hard?
I just think Oakmont was probably a little fairer than Shinnecock might have been in the early 2000s or 1998, possibly. And I remember Payne Stewart looking at a putt halfway up to the hole at Olympic and coming back to his feet 45 feet away. The golf courses can play different ways on different holes, and they're not prepared to everybody's liking. But put it this way, it was dramatic up to the final moment. I think the USGA and Oakmont membership enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. So with a handful of holes to play, one viewer said, we had what, a five-way tie, Bob?
Yes, at one point we did. Yes.
One of the most exciting U.S. Opens I can ever remember. Not because of Oakmont, but because of the setup. And then in the final round, we had a downpour.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if golfers who play on the PGA Tour and play constantly in the weather, because that is a factor of golf in history, it's part of the game. Stop crying, dry off, and go play. What was it? Was it Jack Nicklaus or Tom Watson that said, when the weather started being inclement, half the field is out. And it gave me a better chance. And I want to say it was Tom Watson, who mm-hmm. was on this radio show. He was on with me live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've interviewed him many times. One of the greatest players in history, of course. So in bad weather, and some players hope for bad weather, so half the field is out, and they have to play against less people. Look, if you have 65 players in a final round at a U.S. Open or whatever they had, and you have bad weather and half the field's out, you're now only competing against 30 people. And if those 30 people, out of those, 20 of them are way beyond reach of ever catching you as far as scores go, you're only playing against 8 or 10 people in the final round. I would love that. Love, mm-hmm. big love. Give me wind, give me rain, give me inclement weather. I don't want lightning because they're going to stop it. But if you give me inclement weather, I'm happy. JJ Spahn weathered. Hey, you ready, Bob? He weathered the final round. That was a little joke.
All right.
Come on. Don't write to me, anybody, at golfadams.com. Don't write to me at golfadams.com about my joke. I don't feel good. The dermatologist burned up my face. Bob can see it. You can. And by the way, get to your dermatologist one time every year. Make sure you get a checkup whether you have any spots on you or not. And if you do have anything, get there immediately and wear your sunscreen. Please wear your sunscreen. And then I went to my allergist yesterday. Oh, my gosh. Finally, after months and months of chronic allergies. And we all know on these radio shows that I've sounded like a frog many times. I'm not 100% today. They finally did the whole back scratch thing. If you're having allergy, folks, get to your allergist. Do the back scratch. I was allergic to everything. And I've never had problems with allergies until about the last year or two, certainly the last year. And now I'm on special medication. And I'm glad. Okay, little sidebar there, not about Ray, but about me advising you for your health, part of my Golfer Be Well segment. We will have my doctor, the allergist, on, and we'll talk about allergies and things like that. And we're going to have a dermatologist on and talk about your skin and the largest organ of your body. All right, Bob. Should they have moved this to Monday because they had some rain?
Only if there was electricity in the air, if there was danger, and there wasn't any electricity in the last 3 hours, so they were able to play. They were able to play.
But they stopped play for an hour and a half because there was lightning, and after that they went out, they played again, and
They made it in time. They made it in time.
they 100% did.
Yeah.
So I take that you don't agree that they should have ever postponed it till Monday.
I didn't feel they had to at that moment, but I have a feeling that the window of daylight they had was within 40 minutes, I think, something like that, towards the end. So JJ saved them. He saved them for having to worry about a
A
Monday
playoff.
playoff on Monday. But the fact that they're able to get
Well, they
around
don't do playoffs on Monday anymore, do they?
the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open would not have been an 18-hole playoff. No.
It's an aggregate four hole, right?
Right, but they would have to
But they
move
wouldn't have had
themselves.
time. They wouldn't have had time because of the dark, you're saying.
Yes, the
Okay,
darkness.
good.
Yes. That's
Okay,
all I'm
I
talking
want to
about.
make sure I'm up to speed here, but I
No,
think I am.
it's not the 18th hole. No.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Ray, I got an important thing to mention before we close
Go,
today.
go.
With the Women's PGA Championship, the KPMG Women's PGA Championship came out
Wow.
today. It's going to be at PGA Frisco in Frisco, Texas, this weekend, and they will now offer a tying highest purse in women's golf history, matching the U.S. Women's Open, $12 million purse for women's golf for this event, and the winner walks home with I believe 1.8, yes. And the very first time where they had an LPGA championship on this major was 1955. The purse was $6,000. The winner walked home with $1,200.
Unbelievable.
So happy for to see the women have that, and we're going to see how the Gil Hans course, Fields Ranch East, will play for the best women and golfers. And here's another little nugget, Ray. All 100 players in the race to the CMA Globe rankings are in the golf tournament.
Unbelievable. Well, we love women's golf. We love the LPGA. It's great news. I think it's the best news in golf all over the world. I keep saying that, and I am. Although this US Open, the USGA, what you did, congratulations. My hat is off. Johnny Miller, I'm sure, is glad after his comments over the years. I'm glad after my comments over the years. Thank you for giving us a historic US Open golf course setup. We hope you do it again next year. Thank you for giving us thrills. Thank you to the players. Okay, all the greatest players missed the cut or didn't play well. They play the same golf course in the same conditions that the ones at the top of the leaderboard. And the ones at the top of the leaderboard, other than Adam Scott, weren't, your greatest names. I mean, if they had to rewrite history, would they have loved to have some of the greatest names in golf on the top of the leaderboard, Bob? I'm sure the USGA would have. But I'm telling you, with not the greatest names in the game of golf. And a JJ Spahn who's a winner, not a household name player. Well, he is now, but not then. They have achieved something. They've gotten something for their sponsors, for their television broadcast stakeholders. I think they've done something this year that they haven't done in a very long time, and that they should be very proud of, and I'm proud of you, USGA. Thanks for giving us a real US Open, Bob.
Yep. I
Do you agree with that, or am I going wrong somewhere?
It was a great U.S. Open for me to watch that, and far more memorable than the last 10 to 12, probably, without me actually pinpointing all of them. But it was more than just J.J. Spahn's last putt. Believe me, there was more to it than that.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just great to see great golf, a great grinder, happy for that young man, and it's wonderful. And
so all of the... So all of this stuff about the course being too hard and, you know, they shouldn't have set it up like that. And Oakmont is somebody said something somewhere. Oakmont is Mickey Mouse. Look at the number two green. Look what it did. Look what it did to everybody all week and all these other places. You know, Oakmont is ridiculous the way that it, you know, flows and goes, and it's, you know, it doesn't reward correctly, and it provide all this criticism of Oakmont that I've seen and heard and phone calls and read about. I'm like, look, Oakmont is one of the greatest golf courses in the world. They set it up at a U.S. Open, a historic U.S. Open setup. Okay, maybe number two needs to be sort of looked at a little, but the green, but otherwise, you know, I'm loving it, Bob.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Someone mentioned that when they watched landscaping and mowers and people struggling to mow on tops of hills with their mowing, that tells you the kind of care that went into preparing that golf course. And these guys were, that was amazing to watch some of those mowers.
Well, and then they're raking the rough every day,
yeah,
and rolling it and raking it. I mean, you're talking about terrorizing the players. I mean, and I'm not talking about in a bad way. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a historic U.S. Open setup. Thank gosh the U.S. Open did, or USGA did it. Thank gosh. Okay, Bob, Alyssa Godet will come on with us, founder of Women's Golf Day. She'll be on with us this week because we're going to be in the middle of the Women's KPMG that you already mentioned. And she played the Frisco, home of the PGA golf course recently, which is where the Women's KPGA is being played. KPMG is being played that you just mentioned. So I wanted to come back and say that she will be on the show with us to talk about her experience, the setup of the course. We'll talk a little bit more about the home of the PGA. You know all about that. You helped to outfit the building with memorabilia and history. Don Ray, our great friend, mine for 20 years, president of the PGA of America. And we'll see what we can do to maybe get Don on the show. Who knows? Maybe miracles can happen. I know how to find him, and we'll see what we can do. So that's coming up. I'm just so excited for this U.S. Open, and I'm so glad to wrap it up. We're going to do we're going to do a mini wrap for this coming Saturday's listeners. We'll do a little mini wrap. We'll do a Reader's Digest version. You know, what's it called when you were in college and you got those little kind of books that summarize the whole big book? What are they called? You remember? Okay, I can't remember. I'll figure it out. You would go into the bookstore at your university and buy these little books, and it would help you get through the big book. They were called, what do you call it? They were summaries and synopsis and pointers on the book. Okay, forget about it. I don't remember. So lots of great talk today. Thank you, Bob. Craig, we wish you the best. I'm hoping he'll be back with us this coming Saturday on Great American Golf, right here on the golfnewsnet.com. And then after it airs on our Mondays and our Saturdays, they put it straight over to iHeart. They put it over to Pandora and Spotify and Amazon and Apple and all these places where you get your audio content. TV show at the Golf News Net, Father's Day Match for a Cause, 1 hour show going on right now. Starring Tom Lehman and Lee Jansen, I mentioned at the top of the hour, I'll mention it right now, is at thegolfnewsnet.com under the TV tab. Watch it, enjoy it, love it. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
And in our next broadcast, we'll be talking about Cliff Notes.
Thank you, Cliff Notes. And that's right. So we'll do kind of a little Cliff Note version of our U.S. Open wrap. Thanks, Bob, for helping me out on that one. You know, hey, I'm a man of a certain age. We get to a point, and I'm so wrapped up in this US Open, I wasn't able to kind of connect the dots back, 30 years ago to those university days, but anywhere 35. But anyway, okay. So big women's KPMG, Alyssa Godet. Hopefully, maybe, baby, we can get Don Ray, Dr. Bob, Craig, me, and you, all the great folks out there. Make sure you tune in. Go to thegolfnewsnet.com for TV, radio, and all the great commentary. What Ryan does there is amazing. 1.5 million visitors per month at thegolfnewsnet.com. Bob, have a great one. Hey, you're there at a very special event. Give me 30 seconds where you are and what are you doing?
Ray, I'm in Riverside, Iowa at the Give Foundation event, and this started in 2007. Former executive director of the PGA, Lou King, inspired it, and I'm very happy to be among the veterans. And it's another program that became basically a model for the country, and many people copied it. But the best thing about it is it brought people back to the game, it helped mend lives, and it healed.
Perfect. Isn't that great? All right, everybody, go out and play some golf. Wear your sunscreen. Have a lot of fun. Make sure you hydrate, and not just with water. Get some electrolytes in you. And just enjoy and be safe. And we're going to be with you this coming Saturday on Great American Golf. Follow me, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Match Play TV.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.